Good morning, Central. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 20. For Christ's love complete us, or compel us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry and reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as through God we're making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Thank you.
It's good to be here. I had the opportunity to pick this topic. It looked like the best one, at least for me. I'm looking forward to talking to you about it. We're studying from 2 Corinthians chapter, today is chapter 5, and we're going to talk about reconciliation. Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church has a lot of problems, and I looked at the text and the context and all that, and Paul defends his apostleship in 2 Corinthians, and he talks about a lot of things, but Paul has a way of going through something, and then he gets off on a tangent and goes for a while, and then he comes back to the topic, and today is in one of his tangents that he's going on, and none of us ever do that, but he's talking about that, and I asked myself, you're going to see a lot of we's here, we this and we that, and our question was, who is this we, Kemosabe? You know, who is the we here? And in the text, sometimes it would come across as well, because the question is this really talking about me, or is this talking about somebody else? And of course, in the context, it's going to be Paul, and maybe he's including Timothy in the we, and the you is that he's writing to is of course who, the Corinthians, right? But the question, and one of the passages he says is, for we what? Walk by faith and not by sight. Well, is that true for Paul and Timothy? Yeah. Is he making that point to the Corinthians? Yeah. But is that true? But is that a general principle that's true for all of us? Yeah. So I think I'm going to talk about some principles today. And I think they apply to all of us. And if I had time to go to a lot of other scriptures and a lot of other places, I could prove that point if I needed to. But the point is that the points that I'm going to make, I believe, apply to all of us. And I hope that each of us will then think about how does that apply to me and how can I carry that out. A reconciliation means a restoration of friendly relations. When people have a problem and you reconcile, it means there's a problem and you what have to solve it, so you come back and have good relations again. And that's the idea of reconciliation, and that's the idea that we're going to talk about today. When we sin, we what? We separate ourselves from God, and so then there is a need for what? Reconciliation, to be brought back to God. All right, and that's in Romans 5 verses 10 and 11, it says, for if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? And so God reconciled us not even when we were his enemies. And verse 6 and verse 8 says, while we were ungodly, while we were sinners, he died for us. And so while we were his enemies, when we sinned, we turned away from God. It brought about a problem between us and God. But God, who loves us, decided to do something to bring us back together again. It was his plan. He came to us rather than us just going to him. And this is the only religion in the world where God comes to you. Okay? And so he's concerned about our being reconciled. He wants to reconcile. You know, sometimes if two people get at odds with one another, one of them, both may not want to reconcile, or one may want to reconcile and the other one doesn't want to reconcile, and that's a problem. But in this case, God makes the first move, and he wants to reconcile with us. So I've got four M's. This passage just kind of laid it out, and I'm not normally a person who does all the M's or C's or all those kind of things, but this one was just so natural that I couldn't do anything but do that, I guess. So you'll hear four M's, and that's what I'll talk about. The first M is the motivation. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, for Christ's love compels us. There's your motivation. See, if I'm not motivated to do something, I'm probably not going to do it. Or I certainly, if I do it, I probably do it half-heartedly or whatever. I've got to want to do it, right? There's got to be some motivation that gets me to do that, whether it's go to work or, you know, whatever it is, I got to have a motivation. Well, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So, his love, is that Christ's love for us or our love for him? Yes. Okay, I think it works either way. Okay, we love God because he first loved us. Okay, so again, he makes the first move. He loves us. He's done that. Who does more for you than God? Nobody. Who gave you life? God. Who? This morning you got up, you could walk, talk, see, hear. Great gifts. You give anything you had. If you lost one of them, you would give about anything you had to get it back. And he gives it to you every day. We just wake up. And so, you know, if anybody gave us even one gift, even comparable to that, oh, that'd be great. Man, that's a great person. I love them. Look what they did for me. He does that for us every single day. And so it should be easy to love him. Okay, because of what and we know he loves us because he died for us. How many people you had die for you? So he loves us. And therefore we should love him. And so that love, knowing that he did that for us, he didn't have to do that for us, but he wanted to do that for us, should compel us to what? No longer live for ourselves, but what? But for Christ. We live for him because our life is about him. Without him, we don't have any life. And nothing is going to work without that. And so if you don't have the motivation, if you don't have love for God, if you don't have love for Christ, you're probably not going to do any of this stuff. That's, you know, bottom line. So he calls us that. So first of all, ask yourself, do I have the motivation? Do I love Christ? Do I know that he loves me? That's the first thing. All right? Second thing, and ask yourself, by the way, do I live for Christ? Is he really what I live for? Number two, the mindset. Everybody's got a mindset. You know, we have the motivation is the love of Christ, right? The mindset, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. How do I see people? We see people. Do you see people as God sees them? Spiritually, that's kind of the question here. Do you see people, they are loved by God and they're worth more than all the world because they have an eternal spirit? Every person you meet has an eternal spirit. Everything else in this world is going to be going away. It's temporary. That eternal, that spirit is eternal, and you have that, and every person you meet has that. And therefore, they are more valuable than anything and all the things in this world. Do you see people as valuable? Or do you just see cashiers and workers? And what do you see? How do you see people? Jesus in Matthew 9, he saw them as what? Harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd? How do you see people? See, but he's a mean, he's not mean, he's rude, he's not rude, he's this, he's that. How do you see people? Do you see them as people who are loved by God? People who are of great value? Because the way we see people is the way we treat people. If you don't see them as valuable, you won't treat them as valuable. How do you see people? Really? Not, you know, yeah. You know the right answer, Jesus, right? But how do you see people? Really? Do you see their need for God? Do you see their need to be reconciled to God? See, most people here, if you saw somebody that was hungry, you'd want to give them something to eat. If you saw a particular need, I want to meet that need. I want to help them. I want to do this for that. Because you're compassionate. How about if they're lost? See, there's only two kinds of people in the world, lost and saved. That's all there is. And there's not, and it's not like, you know, it's like being pregnant. You're not a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. Okay? So it's the same thing with lost and saved. Okay? You're either lost or you're saved. There's no in between. Okay? If you're in Christ, you're saved. If you're not in Christ, you're lost. And how we see people, if we see that they're lost, then we what? We want to help them to be saved. Okay? And if they're saved, we want to what? Encourage them to stay saved. Okay? I'm not talking about judging people. I'm talking about the fact is what? As you meet people, find out where they're at and try to bring them to God. It doesn't matter, you know, who they are. They're valuable. But do you see people spiritually? And as valuable and as loved and as needing God, as needing a Savior. Because if you don't have the motivation and if you don't have the mindset, if you don't see people as being lost, you won't do anything for them any more than if you see people, you know, in need, you want to help them. Well, guess what? Does the world need God? Does it need Christ? Does it need reconciled? Yeah. It is their greatest need. Okay? There is no need greater than that. Because if you give them food and you give them clothing and you put gas in their car and you do all these things for them, but they die and go to hell, what did you do? Now, we can't make people do anything, and we don't want to. But we have that opportunity, if we see them, in need of trying to help them be reconciled to God. You know, and so it doesn't, when I work out at His way, I see the guys and every guy that comes in, I see them as they what? They need to be reconciled to God. Simple. I don't care what they did in the past. See them as what? Somebody God loves. Somebody Jesus died for, somebody with an eternal soul. It's worth more than all the world. They're valuable, and they need God. So I want to do what I can to help them find God, be reconciled to God. because I know they need that worse than they need anything else. Okay, so the third M, the ministry, in verses 17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. So we're made new to do what? All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us what? The ministry of reconciliation. So all of us have a ministry. Some of us, some may be supported to do that more full time than others, but all of us have a ministry. And like Richard said last week, we're all full time ministers. Okay? We have a ministry. Now, you might think, well, minister sounds like a good title. It means a servant. Okay? If you minister to somebody, what do? You serve them. That's what you do. So, it's a fancy name for servant. Okay? So, we are all servants of one another, ministers of what? God has given us a ministry of reconciliation to bring people to what? To God. That's our ministry. Fourth M. Message. If you got a ministry, you need to have a message. In this case, in verse 19, it says that God was reconciling the world to himself. You notice this is God acting and doing all this. Not counting people's sins against them. That's good news for us. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So we have a message of reconciliation. What is the message of reconciliation? The gospel. The good news. I like to tell people good news. You know, do you like to tell people good news? People usually like to hear good news. The gospel is good news. I got good news for you. You know your problem with sin? Because everybody's got it. All sin and come short of the glory of God. We all sin. Good news. Jesus came to solve that problem. All of us die. 100%. Good news. Jesus came to solve that problem. Our two big problems, and it doesn't matter whether you're in Russia or El Salvador or the U.S. or Europe or wherever you're at, everybody you meet has those two problems, sin and death. And they all need to be reconciled to God. And that gospel is God's power to save people. And Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." It's God's power. The Greek word there is dunamis, which means, from which we get our word dynamite. The gospel is God's dynamite to change people's lives. Dynamite changes things. Okay? And that's God's power. It's His power, not us, not our power. His power that can change us and make us different and make us people that He created us to be. And so it's that power that people need in their life, because we cannot save ourselves. We don't have that strength. We don't have that power. God gives us that power through the gospel and through Him and through His Spirit that indwells those who become Christians. He gives us the power to do what He's created us to do. And so He delivers us from sin and death through the gospel. That is the message. That's the good news for all of us. Do you know anybody that needs any good news? Do you personally know somebody that needs good news? I'm guessing you do. Maybe it's you. But all of us need that. And God came to give it to us, and he has given us this ministry. He's given us this message to take to people, to tell them, hey, I got good news. You don't have to die in your sins. And you can spend eternity with God. Death is not the end. God's got something better for you. He's even gone to prepare a place for you. He's got something better. It's good news for everyone. Now, we take all these M's, motivation, mindset, ministry, message, and so in verse 20 he says, therefore, which is there for a reason. It's therefore means in conclusion, because of what I just said, here's what happens. Therefore, we are therefore what? Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. How's God working with people? How's God get his message of reconciliation to people? How do people hear the message of reconciliation? How do people learn about God? How do people understand all those things? Through us. He makes his appeal through us. See, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our message to everybody. Be reconciled. But we are therefore Christ's ambassador. What's an ambassador? Somebody who represents somebody. If you're the representative from if you're a representative to England, what's your job as an ambassador? If you're the ambassador to England, what's your task? What's your responsibility? To bring about what? Good relations between England and the U.S., if you were the U.S. ambassador to England. Okay? To try to bring about good relationship. So, who has God made ambassador? Us. You are his ambassador. You represent him. Can you imagine that the creator of the universe has chosen you to represent him to the world, to your world, whatever, because you operate in a circle that I don't operate in. You have friends and people that I don't meet. I can't reach because I don't know them. I don't see them. You see them. You know them. All of us have different circles. So we are ambassadors to all those people that we meet. And we represent Christ. So how you doing in that? How you representing Christ to the world? How are you, you know, are you bringing about bringing better relationships with people, bringing them to God? See, I don't want to get sidetracked into getting into arguments with people over politics or even religion or anything. I don't want to turn people off. I want to bring them to God. Because I'm the ambassador, so I don't want to get caught up getting into big discussions about things that haven't got anything to do with being reconciled to God. Because I'm trying to bring this person to God, whoever it is. So I want to represent. So does it matter how I live then if I'm the ambassador, if I'm representing God? Does that make a difference how I live? Does it make any difference how I interact with you? How I, reflect Christ with my neighbors, with the cashier at Walmart? Of course, I go through the self-check, so I can avoid that, but whatever. Does it make any difference how we live then? All the time. With every single person. With your wife. With your husband. With your children. With your neighbors. with your coworkers, with those you go to school with. Every person you meet, you're an ambassador. So, how are we reflecting God? How are we being ambassadors? How are we representing Him? Are we being good representative? Are we concerned about those we meet? And do we reach out to them? Do we try to help them, to reconcile them to God? You know, sometimes if you're trying to build relations with people, that you have to be tactful. You know, you don't walk up, "You're going to hell." Probably not a good approach, okay? Not a good approach, okay? Build relationship, build friendship. When you love them, you show them God, because God is love. And so we serve each other, we help each other. But the point of all of it is to reconcile them to God, because that's what they need. And that's what we're trying to do. And so we do it the best we can. We're all different. We all do it different ways. I'm not saying you don't have to be like me or like somebody else. Do it with your talents, what God's given you in the area with the people you have. I've told you about, many of you I've told about Olga, who's from Russia, who's a fitness instructor. Okay? She talks to people about God. She wants to reconcile every client she's got to God. That's more important to her than whether they're physically fit. She doesn't teach them. She brings them to somebody to be taught. But she's talking to them about God. She's using what she's got to reconcile them. That's what she does. You're a different situation. Use what God has given you, because everything you've got, He gave you for His purpose, to honor Him, to bring people to Him. That's what He wants. So, this morning, are you reconciled to God? If not, that's what this is all about. We want you to be reconciled. God wants you to be reconciled. He made the move so you could be reconciled, because He loves you and He wants you to be saved. If you haven't been living like a good ambassador, repent. Change. He lets us do that. And help us to be His ambassadors to Huntsville and to wherever and whoever we come in contact with. If you need to repent, if you need some help, our elders will be up here and we'll receive you and help you in any way they can as we stand and sing.